We'll read verses 1 through 7. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant and infallible. It is our only rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 56, we'll consider the first 7 verses this morning, reading from the ESV translation, Hear the Word of the Lord. To the choirmaster, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause, and their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape, and wrath cast down the peoples, O God. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear this morning, that its reading and its preaching would edify your people. Grow us in the image of Jesus Christ. Make us more holy. And we pray this to your glory and to your honor. In Christ's name, amen. The Psalm 56, our Psalm of the month that we've been singing for the last few Lord's days, is a psalm that was written by King David. But at the time he wrote it, he was not King David in the eyes of Israel. He was king in the eyes of God. You remember the story. David had been anointed by God through Samuel as a king of Israel. But Israel did not acknowledge that at first. And when we come to David at this point in his life, he has become a fugitive from Saul. And despite Saul's many murderous plots to kill David, David has been preserved to this point, and he has escaped. And yet, at the time that he penned Psalm 56, he now finds himself at the mercy of God's people's old enemies, the Philistines. And so here is David, and you can read of this in 1 Samuel 21. At the hands of his enemies, the Philistines, fearing for his very life, and if you remember in the story, David pretends to be crazy. He acts like a madman and drools, and by those means, the Lord delivers him in his despair in the midst of his trial. But it's the lessons that David learned when life was crumbling around him, when the mountains were falling, to borrow another metaphor from the Psalms. It's the lessons that David learned during this difficult time that I believe are very instructive for us today. For we who live in a hostile environment, a fallen world, a wilderness. How many of you are in a trial this day? Or how many of you have recently come through a difficult trial? Or how many of you will face a trial in the very near future? That probably catches everybody in the room. the experience of trials, the experience of hardship is one that we are familiar with in this fallen world. We all have our own fears. We all have our own difficulties, our own hostilities that we must face. How bad were things for David? Well, we read in the introduction here, David wrote this psalm when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Things were so low for David. Things were so desperate, so difficult for David that he finds himself in the hometown of Goliath. That's bad, if you remember the history between David and Goliath. It's hard to imagine that things would be so difficult, so oppressive, that the best place that David had to flee to was the hometown of Goliath and the home of the Philistines. And yet here he is, so cut off, so alone, so abandoned, so fearful, so overwhelmed, that he flees to his own enemy's great city. David has troubles. But I want to note how he handles these troubles. Look at the first two verses here in chapter 56. We notice a few things about David. We notice a few things particularly about his trial. First of all, the trial is intense. He feels overrun. He feels beat down. He feels oppressed. Notice several times he says, "They trample on me." This is a man who's crushed by the circumstances of life. This is an intense time of pain. But it's not just intense. We also see in these first two verses and throughout the passage that David is worn down by the duration, the longevity of the pursuit of those who would see him destroyed. Isn't that so often the case with intense trials? Whatever the trial may be, oftentimes trials come and they're very intense, but they're brief in their duration. But you notice what David says here over and over. He says, all day long. All day long. All day long. He repeats it several times. See, some trials are hard but short. But the real difficulty can be in dealing with a trial that is long in duration, that just seems to go on and on and on and on, and no end in sight, and no light at the end of the tunnel, and no sign of relief. That's what David's experiencing here. That's where he is. He's fleeing from place to place. His enemies are wearing him down. This trial is oppressing upon him. And he's running, and he's running, and he's running, and he's running out of steam. And he feels like he's losing. All day long, all day long, all day long, they trample, they trample, they trample, all day long. It's intense. It's long. And we also see that David feels alone. Verse 2, my enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. He feels alone. It's a difficult situation. It's a long situation. It's a lonely situation. And David feels like he's losing. And in the midst of his troubles, he calls out to God. Verse 3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? That's his prayer. In the midst of terrible oppression, brokenheartedness, difficulty, he cries out to God. And look at this prayer. Verse 3. He doesn't play down the difficulty of his circumstances. Often, that's the way we try to cope, isn't it? With heartbreak, difficulty, disappointment. Oh, it's not so bad. You don't see David bragging. You don't see David saying, I'm not afraid. He says in verse 3, when I am afraid. He knows the reality of the situation. He knows it's grim. These men want to kill him. It's a difficult, fearful situation, and he has reason to have a reasonable fear. Fear in of itself is not a terrible thing. In fact, fear is really an indication that whatever the given situation is much bigger than we are ourselves. Fear is a recognition that I am feeble, that I am vulnerable, that I cannot control everything that I would like to control. But what we see with David is his fear is not a fear without hope. That's the difference in a reasonable fear and the fear of someone who is hopeless. Because in the very same verse, he says, when I am afraid, verse 3, I put my trust in you. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. See, David knows that God is bigger than whatever trial he may be facing. That the physician, the great physician, is more powerful than the disease. He knows God is sovereign. See, to us, fear and hope may seem to be opposites. But what you see in the pages of Scripture is that in the occasions that Christians have reason to fear, those occasions are also the times when we have the greatest reason to hope. The occasion to fear is the occasion to hope, because we serve a God who is sovereign. And so whatever adverse circumstances come our way, whatever difficulties, whatever hardships, we do not find our peace in temporal circumstances. We do not find our peace in temporary experiences. That's what's so unique about the Christian faith. Is that when all the mountains are falling around us, when our world is crumbling, when the very foundation is being pulled out from under our feet, our faith stands firm. See, that can't happen if you put your faith in the surety that the mountains will not crumble. Because the mountains will crumble. But David doesn't put his faith in experiences. In fact, he's very clear about what his faith is grounded in. Look at verse 4. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Look at the specific object of his faith. In the midst of a trial, he mentions two things. The object of his faith is God, and the content of his faith is based on the Word of God. That's the foundation for David. In the person of God and the Word of God, he places his faith when the world is crumbling around him, and he finds peace and hope. And that's the pattern for us as well. And when David puts his trust in God, then he can say in verse 4, fear will not dominate the day. Fear will not dominate the day. For the Christian who puts his hope, his faith in God and in His Word. Calvin, commenting on this passage, wrote, David, who feared and yet trusted, was sensible of the greatness of his danger, and yet quieted his mind with the confident hope of the divine deliverance. That's fear with hope. And what a comforting pattern, what a glorious pattern to go to God and to go to His Word in times of trouble. And this is a pattern that you see throughout Scripture. This is just illustrative of the whole scriptural theme, that those who belong to God rest securely in His hands. Listen to the words of Scripture that challenge the fears that strike us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The Father always protects His own. That's the source of our faith. That's the object of our faith. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. There is no trial. There is no difficulty. There is no oppression. There is no circumstance. There is no amount of brokenheartedness that would cause the Father in heaven to forget His own child. He has you engraved, literally, on the palms of His hands. And these bold statements that David makes throughout the psalm, what can man do to me? What can mere man do to me? That's a bold statement. Because we all know the answer. What can man do to you? Well, he can slander you. He can maim you. He can torture you, he can shoot you, he can kill you. There's a lot of things that man can do to you. But see, David doesn't fear man nearly as much as he fears God. I think of the words of Christ in Luke 12. Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed you, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. That is the comfort and the hope of God's Word. And that's what we place our faith in the difficulties of life. Paul writes about this very same thing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes about trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties in the life of a believer. Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for the purpose of those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. All things work together for good for those who are in Jesus Christ. It's exactly what David is reminding himself of in this difficult time of trials and tribulations. That there is not one single thing that can happen in the life of a believer that was not foreordained before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ for His own good. And you don't judge that by the circumstances that are occurring at the particular moment, as painful and as hurting and as difficult as they may be. We judge it by the Word of God. And that's what David puts his hope in. And that's what Paul put his hope in. He goes on, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Sounds so much like David. What can mere man do to me? If God is sovereign, if He loves me in Jesus Christ, then whatever the particular circumstance that I'm dealing with at this given moment, whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, I can trust in Him. Because no one can take that away. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, 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 no. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's exactly what David is saying. There is no circumstance, there is no difficulty under the sun that can rob us of God's sovereign love and care for His children. In fact, every circumstance we encounter is part of that great and glorious plan. That's the foundation of our hope. And if David can look at his bleak circumstances and say this, how much more can we say this? We who have the full revelation of God in Jesus Christ. We who now know that God came in the flesh, as Paul explains here, and who died and who was raised and shed His own blood for us. We who know that the Heavenly Father, before the foundation of the world, numbered the very hairs on your head. How much more can we rest and trust in Him in difficult times? Look at David back in Psalm 56, verse 5. All day long they injure me. Their thoughts are against me, are for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. They've waited for my life. David is in a horrible, horrible situation. And yet his fear finds faith and hope and confidence in God's Word. And that's where we find our hope. That's where we find our confidence. And so it may be in your particular troubles this very day. Are you oppressed by troubles? Difficulties? Sickness? Danger? Distress? Depression? Loneliness? Family breaking up? Barely hanging on to your job? Anxious days ahead? Waiting for test results? Marital problems? Whatever your difficulty, you put your faith in God and His Word. And notice David comes to know God more intimately right in the middle of his trouble. It's not when it's over. It's right in the middle of the muck. And so often, we find ourselves in the middle of a difficult situation, and we say, oh, if I can just get to the other side. Lord, if You'll just get me out of this situation, then I'll trust Your Word. Then I'll trust in You. Then I'll work for Your kingdom. But that's not how it works. It's in the midst of the depths of the pit. It's in the middle of the trial that David comes to know God. And in the depths, we trust in God and we come to know Him too. We can either focus on the source of our fears, or we can focus on the promise of His Word and His fatherly, sovereign care for His children. And we can find hope. That's our firm foundation. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You work all things for our good. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing.